Because people are their patterns.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that mine exists till I tried to walk a different path in the same shoes and I stepped in the same shit. I guess the trick is to be present enough to see the light and flip the switch. But slowing down ain't easy in a world that moves as fast as this.
Yeah.
So I set sail in new directions, blowing in the different winds. In uncharted waters, I battled waves and washed ashore just like before, because I sailed the same ship. Wow. See, everything had changed around me, but internally, these patterns, they persist. New computer, faster data, programmed on the same chip. Different journey with some new drugs, but it felt like the same trip.
Yeah.
What gives? So then, brother, I fixated on a separate destination. But it's like my GPS had a glitch. The same wiring kept firing, but all I needed was a circuit flipped. It was no longer serving me, but irking me and urging me to dismiss all those thoughts that kept me trapped behind a wall made of bricks. And though I wielded a heavy hammer, I couldn't help but swing and miss. Yet strangely, there was this twisted sense of bliss, because I knew eventually I could be the change to see the change and witness this all lift. Like my perspective needs to shift so that I can view me as the new me and then commit to let him live. And that's what I did. When I opened my eyes and realized that to truly thrive as the new me, the old me had to die.
Yeah.
And it was hard to say goodbye because I learned to love that guy. That battle-tested, fearless warrior, unafraid to cry. Heart burst open wide, head up high, willing to grow at any cost. But I couldn't find my way from day to day till I admitted I was lost.
Yeah.
But now I'm found. And dumbfounded at the mountains I can move. Brother, I recognize the God inside the man I knew as Damien Jude. And now I'm him. And it's too true. And it might seem like it's a lot, but it's not. It's minuscule. I'm telling you so that you know. Because I faced off with my shadows in those dark nights of the soul. My searching led me to my worth and this truth that now I show. Because I bathed within the fire. And though it was blazing hot, it didn't hurt me. No, I learned. It only burned what I was not.
Yeah. Welcome, welcome to the Breaking Chains podcast. So today is going to be a special day. I have a special guest here.
Yeah.
It's my guest, Damien.
What's up?
We go far back in our journey, and bottom line is we're finally reconnected. Haven't seen him, and when's the last time I saw you?
I think I saw you in Jersey City at the Poetry Jam.
Oh!
Yeah, that was the last time.
That was the last time.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. So yeah. Anyway, I don't know what has kind of brought us back together here today, but I don't believe there's ever any coincidences. So
absolutely,
there's something about us reconnecting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also gives us the opportunity to look back on our own, like our relationship, our journey
absolutely
together, and talk about how much we've grown, what we've learned, and kind of like be vulnerable so that
absolutely
all of the guests, you know, that they can hear maybe some things resonate in their life.
True. I agree. Right?
So,
yeah,
so
it's cool
so
with me.
Obviously, first and foremost,
yes,
how did we meet?
So we met, you know what? I think I worked at a gym and I met your mom first.
Okay.
And your mom told me that you were opening a gym and that maybe I should talk to you.
But you were training my mom.
Yeah, I was training your
mom.
So
you were personal training my mom.
Correct, yeah.
Gotcha.
I was a personal trainer. This was maybe the second gym that I had worked at.
Okay.
And you know what? No, it was the third. It was a personal training studio in Morristown. I worked for a woman who trained your mom. And on many occasions when she couldn't make it, I would be the, you know, the sit-in.
The fill-in.
Yeah, the fill-in, yeah. Send Damien in, and then I would train with your mom. And,
gotcha,
you know, we became friendly and got to talking, and that's how I learned about you.
And then at that time, we had just kind of, we just built NBD.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And somehow I remember calling you.
Right.
And I do remember you coming in for an interview.
Yeah, totally.
At the Springfield location, because
yes,
the Morristown location wasn't there yet.
Man. Yeah, that's right.
Eh?
Yep. Yeah. And I came here and we kind of, you know, hit it off well. I guess that was a good start, but yeah, it's crazy looking back at.
And so, like, how many years were you at NBD? Obviously, it all worked out. You came in, we connected.
Mm-hmm.
You were hired.
Yeah.
I remember you ended up being a manager.
Yes, yes. And that was one of the reasons, you know, that I left that personal training studio, because I wanted, you know, the opportunity to join a place where I could advance. And gotcha. And that's one of the things you said, like, you know, hey, maybe you could be a manager, you could grow. And yeah, I was just training people and it seemed like I'm just going to be here every single day. And I need challenge. I need to have a vision for myself.
Of course. And
that kind of fulfilled the opportunity and gave me something to strive towards rather than just being session after session.
Challenge, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We all want challenges. I remember, you know, you had given me, I haven't forgotten it. I'm not going to lie, I can't remember the words. But I remember one day you gave me like a rap.
And yes, I did write a rap for you.
And it was beautiful, man. And I remember it tugging at my heartstrings. And
wow.
There were moments when there was just like chaos in the business and like, you know, we're grinding, trying to mm-hmm. do everything that we can do to be successful. And every once in a while you get lost in the chaos.
Yeah.
For some reason, that rap or poem, whatever, you know, terminology makes more sense, it would always bring me back because it reminded me, even in the chaos, what is my purpose and how does somebody else kind of perceive me?
Yes.
You know, and it showed me, so I used to read that almost at least once a week when I went to my office because it was on my board.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that, man.
Absolutely, bro.
I remember that.
I'm glad you brought that up because I, you know, it's in my memory bank, but I haven't thought about that, you know, but I wrote that for you obviously because you inspired me, you know, and you still do. And yeah, I mean, it comes full circle, right? And like to think back then I was just writing raps and, you know, occasionally I would put one on Facebook like, yeah, look how good I am. And it's really, you know, what I was tapping into and what I've uncovered is that was a gift to connect to people,
yeah.
Right? And you're one of the first people that I wrote something for, inspired by, and like this many years later, you're like, hey, that actually resonated with me. It really worked. So my intention to gift you those words, it's just, wow, that's full circle for sure.
It is a gift, and I think that's incredible that you're actually fully acknowledging and aware of that gift. There's been moments on my journey where people have said like one sentence that I did not forget. And that's for the good and for the bad.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You can remember,
sometimes things just stick with
you.
You
can remember the people building you up and you can kind of remember the people who have, you know, been there to kind of break you down and challenge you.
Absolutely.
But the impact of words is a gift. And when used from a place of strength, inspiration, motivation, love, compassion, it truly does have the ability to like to move mountains.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, you know what? And that's what it just, you know, took me some time to own it. Because in the beginning, it was easy to just feel like, you know, oh, I'm trying to be a rapper, I'm trying to be this, and it was like there was nothing to try, you know, ultimately at this point now. You know, I'll just receive inspiration and I'll write something. But then it was like, you know, I had this, I guess on the grand scale, I wanted to be on a stage, right? But I didn't believe I was good enough. I would compare myself, you know, you're comparing yourself to Eminem and to Jay-Z, and you're just spitting rhymes in a gym at that point, you know? You have this grand vision, but you don't think about the steps along the way, and you don't think about, you know, what's the true purpose, right? Because that was strictly from like an egoic standpoint. And because I thought of it from the ego, like, oh, being out there, being famous, that made me compare myself to people who were way out of my league and then made me doubt that I would ever be able to achieve that, right? And what I'm saying from ego is that, you know, I don't want to be a famous rapper. You know, I probably never did. I love my privacy. You know what I mean? But when I share, there's vulnerability in it. So it's like, where's the privacy now? Hey, I'm willing to really put it out there. But now that I write from a place of heart and, you know, understanding that it's a gift, it's not even about me and what I want to be seen or, you know, typically it's a challenge for me to allow myself to be seen.
Of course.
Poetry brings me to that, you know, that bridge. But yeah, it's just interesting, like, you know, calling it rap back then and having those big aspirations that I was too scared to tell anybody, and then realizing that was all ego. You know, all I really ever want to do is say something that somebody will come back one day and be like, dude, that touched my heart. That's beautiful. right? Because now that's a gift that I was given that I can just re-give.
Of course.
Yeah, man.
And it's never ending. Mm. You know, it kind of just, it reverberates throughout the universe.
Yes.
Kind of in a nonstop fashion. Mm-hmm. Like your words inspire, and then somebody else gets inspired.
Yes.
And then they inspire.
100%.
So it's huge. You said something just now that made me think, I wanted to go a little bit deeper into.
Okay.
You said, I felt like I needed to try.
Mm-hmm.
What did you mean by that?
You know what? I think that at that point, it was an identity. And to call myself a rapper was an identity, you mm-hmm. know? And like, well, I'm actually a trainer. I'm actually a son, and I'm somebody's boyfriend, and I'm a best friend. You know, those are all identities that went with me, and it made sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, but to call myself a rapper, there was just some level of self-consciousness, you know? Or, yeah, I felt self-conscious, you know? And the people like, oh, spit something, he's a rapper. No, I'm not, no. But like, yeah, you are. Yeah, you were. You were spitting fire for forever. And it's like, I would just say that I was just so, this is the word, brother, I was so drowning in self-judgment that what I also did was compromise the content, you know? And I guess looking back, really, it's, you know, it's the maturation of who I am that now I say the things that I say.
Gotcha.
It always had a different, more philosophical depth to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I'm a thinker, and
of course
it's just who I am. However, you know, now it's at another level. But I was trying, and I would write things with an intention to get a certain reaction.
Mm.
And now I
like,
just
like, yo, I'm about to hit them with the fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, yeah. I want them to be like, damn.
Let's see what they do. Let's see what they do.
Yes, exactly.
And now you're like, I'm actually just speaking from my heart and
yes.
soul.
Mm-hmm.
And if they like it, awesome.
Yeah.
If they don't, I still like it.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, hey, you need to hear this. And it's like, what's the quote, man? If you don't bring forth what's inside of you, what's inside you will kill you. If you bring forth what's inside you will set you free.
Mm.
You know, and that's that ultimate creative energy. And it's a catharsis, right?
Yeah.
It's healing for me in a sense.
You know, there's a, when I look at all of our journeys, it's like so crazy how it all connects. Because what do they call it? Like an imposter syndrome.
Yes.
Right? But it's really coming from the fact that the only reason that you would have self-judgment, or myself included, about like running a health club. Like, wow, am I good enough to run a franchise?
Yeah.
Like, you know, could I do it? Could I make it happen? The only thing that I can think of in my head of reasons why is because we would be comparing ourselves to others.
Absolutely.
If you actually remove the comparison, there's nothing else.
Yeah, correct.
There's nothing else to actually compare to.
Yes, I agree.
Except yourself. But you're not comparing outside yourself. And I think that's been one of the most freeing thing is like, I'm just going to do shit my way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't actually want to do it like anybody else. And I'm finally acknowledging that the universe, God, life, etc., has given each one of us like a most unique gift.
Yes.
That nobody else can replicate or duplicate.
Mm-hmm.
It can't, it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that has taken me deeper inside myself to truly better understand my purpose and my mission.
Mm.
Do you feel the same?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do. I feel like, you know, once you can get out of that comparison zone and whatnot. Yeah, I think that we all have a unique voice, and that is your gift,
yeah.
right? Imagine never being able to say anything for the rest of your life, right? Imagine you were a mute, per se. Well, I guess they have their ways of communicating, so let me rewind that. Let's just say your ability to speak tomorrow was gone, right? And maybe you couldn't even learn sign language for whatever
reason. Any form of communication.
Yeah, you couldn't communicate anymore.
Couldn't do it.
Right? You would realize what a gift it was when you couldn't share with people and when you couldn't, you know, elaborate on a perspective.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's
like, it's kind of almost like as we grow old. So like, let's see, NBD is 15 years old, way back in 2009, is when the company started. I'm probably going to say you started at least in some part in 2010.
Yeah, probably right around there.
I'm going to say like midway through 2010. Mm-hmm. So you and I have been on this journey for some time of knowing each other for at least about 15 years.
Yes.
So and that's a third that's a third of my life.
Yeah, that's a long time. And you know what's funny too? You knew, and for a little while, I believe, you used to get your hair cut at Uptown Cuts,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and my friend Manny. Right? Manny was a barber. So if I had not met you through your mom there, I would have met you through Manny.
Yeah.
You know, and like he had mentioned your name. He's like, oh, do you know Chris Jones? He's opening something. I guess he knew somehow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like, yeah, it's interesting how...
It's all connected.
It is. It's all connected. You know, there's no coincidences. And if your paths are meant to cross, they definitely will.
Yeah. You know, there's something about having you at NBD was always amazing. Just how, actually, when I think about you, from day one, it's always been like your heart. You just, you have this, this soft, like vulnerable presence that's friendly, peaceful, and calm.
Appreciate that, and I receive that.
And you're just like an observer. You're an observer of what's going on. And sometimes, like, I always feel like our conversations have always flowed really well because there's things that it's almost like things are deeper than what we see.
Yes.
And you've always had that questioning.
Yes.
And I feel like I've always had that questioning. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we jump into our busybody moments, but like, I feel like I could sit and talk to you for like a couple hours about like, dude, do you ever think about life and
I would say
why we're here? And
oh, absolutely.
And what this is all for.
We always go there.
We do.
Yeah. Yesterday was our shortest phone call ever to talk about what time, right? But otherwise, you know, I remember talking to you after... whatever, I just remember talking to you once and being like, I gotta call Jones. I haven't talked to him in a while. And it was like 2 hours. We were just chatting about life. But that's great.
The one reason I bring that up is because I think the world needs more of that. Especially like male
Without
relationships. Like being able to talk at a vulnerable level about being in a place of actually wondering and imagining, but not knowing, right? As men, we're supposed to fucking know every single step that we're supposed to take. If we don't know the next step to take, it seems like you're not disciplined, you're not committed, you're not in control.
Preach.
And at the end of the day, the fact is that so many men in general are burning inside from the inside out.
The fire.
And it's all because sometimes we just can't let go and ponder life. We always have to be in control at every given moment. But the reality is, I ask myself these days, like, are we in control? Like,
can I answer that for you?
Please.
Hell no. You are in control of what you can control. And this is my belief, right? You can control your perspective. That's so much of, you know, what I share, it talks about that. But yeah, no, you can't control. I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that so many of us, you know, we're so focused on the goal, the destination that you forget how gorgeous the journey is.
Agreed.
And in reality, you want that destination, but what you really want is who you are when you get there.
Yeah.
And all this stuff in the interim is making you that person. So you've got to appreciate that.
Of course.
Right? Every little argument, every little achievement, every challenge, right? They're all crafting you to be the person that you see at that finish line.
100%.
And then you get there and it's like, oh, wait a minute, this isn't a finish line, you know?
So I agree with you that on the control, all we can really control is, you said perspective. I agree.
Absolutely.
It's almost like my response.
Yes.
You know, what is my reaction is the only thing that I can, like when you think about it, from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night, how many things did you really control? Like, you're driving
wow,
on the road.
Question.
You're driving on the road. Like, this person might make a phone call. You might bump into this person at the coffee store. You might have saw somebody you haven't seen from 2 years ago. Like, somebody hits you with a car. You don't know what's going to happen.
Never.
And for some reason, if we actually look at all of the infinite possibilities in that day, I think it starts to make sense that we're actually not really in control of anything. But you just said something profound. All of our experiences are crafting us into who we were meant to be, right? And if we can actually have gratitude and appreciation for those experiences, then our life takes a turn because to me, we learn our lessons that much quicker.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Because there's no more victim mindset. Mm-hmm. There's no poor me. It's like, okay, this shit is really uncomfortable.
Yes.
I'm not sure how to handle this, but I know that it's in my best interest. Mm. And that's how I actually live my life right is kind of being in a place of like, how is this best serving me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. This person really is making me angry. How is this best serving me? Why am I getting angry from this conversation? What about this conversation? Am I trying to be right? Am I trying to get my point across? Mm. Am I actually listening to the person? What about this conversation is helping me level up? And when I do that in everything, it's almost like, and dude, this came to me yesterday. Hopefully I can remember it. It's called the law of perpetual energy transmutation.
Okay. Yes.
And pretty much what it says is, as alchemists, we're able to alchemize anything and every single experience into what we choose to. Right? Like water can be water, it can be ice, it can be
steam.
Gas.
Yeah.
So we can take all of our pain, all of our struggle, we can take all of our love, and we can transmute that by opening ourselves up to the possibilities.
Yes.
So can we take the pain from our trauma or childhood or whatever and transmute? So I honestly think about every situation as
we are the opportunity. Creators. 100%. So 100%, right? Because I'm going to take the pain from that trauma and I'm going to create something beautiful out of it.
How does one do that?
I don't know that there is a recipe. You know what? Like, to say, hey, this is transmutation happening. We know that energy doesn't disappear. It only changes form.
Of course.
So if I have the energy of pain, and then later on in life, I don't have that much pain, what happened to that? It transmuted.
Of course.
It must have. So, you know, what did I do with that specifically? Did I breathe it out? Did I shake it out? Did I write it out? Did I cry it out? At some point, it was transmuted if it's no longer there, if it's no longer of that density.
Agreed.
You know, so that might be a very dense is the word, I guess, right? That's like a dense representation of what we're trying to talk about. But I can transmute nervousness. Right. And in a moment, maybe I'm nervous about something that might happen, you know, and I'm worried about it. I'm feeling anxiety about something, or I can transmute that in that moment and say, okay, this isn't anxiety. Really what this is, my body's keeping me safe. My body is thinking about all these different scenarios that could happen.
Of course.
And so here I am preparing myself for the worst of the worst.
Exactly.
But what about if the best case scenario happens, or what I like to say, what if it ends up being better than I could have even imagined?
Of course.
I've transmuted that anxiety into a hopeful perspective.
Or you transmute into courage.
Even better. Right? Yes.
Like the courage to take the next step moving forward.
Uh-huh.
Right? Okay. But the key to what you said that I think is so powerful is that it's the awareness of that anxiousness.
You have to be aware.
Like correct. That's like, so that I think that is the key is how can we share the process of becoming more aware of your actual feelings.
Yes.
Like, how do you shine that light on those parts of the consciousness that are just habitual patterns that you've been conditioned into? How does one see there, because you can't transmute
unless you got to be aware. Right? Yeah, I think it comes down to presence, you know, and presence. That's my own personal struggle. And, you know, what I'm always trying to aspire for is more presence in my life.
How in your life right now do you find more presence?
Through gratitude.
Gratitude.
Through slowing myself down. You know, I got that crazy ADHD brain. I'm always going. I'm always thinking about what's next,
next.
You know, so I have to make deliberate practices of slowing down. You know, I'll start my mornings off a little slower. I journal a lot. I write poetry, you know, and nature, time in nature. Even if I'm just sitting in my yard, you know, just looking and just sitting down, listening to the birds, right? Like, this isn't something I do all the time. I'm not out there meditating, levitating. I wish I was, but I move fast just like everybody else.
Of course. You know?
But I definitely do.
But you understand the importance of being present.
And I feel when I'm not, you know, if I go like however many days it might be where I haven't given that to myself, I know it, right? And my car gets a little messy and my room gets a little bit messy and I can see like this, what I would determine or what I would call like a chaos, right? It's not really chaotic. Like, I come from true chaos. This is not that kind of chaos.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we recreate what we're used to.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it's like, I think that's my baseline, is like more of a chaotic state, because for so many years I functioned there. And ultimately, I learned to thrive there.
Because you had no choice.
Yes, I had no choice. And ultimately, I thrived there. So when shit's going crazy, I'll be all right.
You'll thrive.
Yeah, but I don't have to be like that.
Exactly.
And again, right, it comes down to that awareness. So creating that space, creating that
quiet. It's like you don't have to go out of your way to put yourself in a chaotic environment in order to...
To remove yourself from it, right? And then be like, hey,
but if it comes up, you handle it.
Yeah, if it comes up, you handle it, right? But it's like, hey, man, the least chaos is the best.
I'm with you.
And really, yeah, getting back to what you said, you know, I think that helping people see that, I think that's unique to each person's journey, because I might say something that resonates deeply with you and the next person's like, I don't like that guy's voice.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Yeah.
So there's something that I heard yesterday, and I hope I can say this right. Mm-hmm. It blew me away.
Go ahead.
Like, my meditations last night were like just on fire after hearing this. Cause I heard law of perpetual transmutation. I heard that yesterday. And
so you just heard that in a meditation?
No, I heard it somewhere. Like, I heard it on a video on YouTube.
Law of perpetual
transmutation. And for some reason it caught my attention. I started reading and looking it up, and it was like, I got brought there through a couple of breadcrumbs. In that morning, I heard this video that talked about being an alchemist, and that, you know, there's like why we're here on Earth, and we came here to alchemize Earth. And so I heard that in the morning, and then I'm seeing all these things, and then it went into like perpetual transmutation. I'm like, oh, that's alchemy. Like we're taking, you know, we're taking whatever, bronze, and turning it into gold, right? So what I heard, though, to go along with that, was there was a guy who I guess has been sober for a long time, and he had this post, which is awesome, and it said, I thought when I gave up alcohol, I was giving something up. But in reality, I was taking something back.
Makes sense to me.
And so it's almost like his attention that went towards alcohol and the effects on his body and everything else.
Absolutely.
He thought like, man, I have to give up alcohol. But in reality, alcohol was taking from him the presence of being who he was meant to be, right?
Yes.
So then he's like, now I look at it as I'm gaining back all that attention and energy and health. I'm actually getting it back. And for some reason, the way that I read that, it made me just really think deeply about where all my attention is. And that if I could take all of that attention and bring it here, what would that be like? And so when I went into my meditations yesterday, I like kind of went into nothingness, and I was I could just feel the vibes, like I could feel the energy pulsing through my body.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Acknowledging that, like, it is all about our attention. Where is our attention? We never, in this world, this crazy world right now, we're always looking out.
Yes. And think about how valuable attention is now. That's the thing. That's
how much what everybody you pay for it on Facebook yep, and absolutely. Everything else, right?
And you know what? Like the perspective that that gentleman shared was that alcohol was taking from him.
Exactly.
You know, and that's amazing. So it's like, I'm giving, it's taking. So where else am I giving my attention? Where else am I giving my energy? Exactly. That's all we do is give, give, give. But that is our nature, I think, yeah. right? Like the tree who doesn't ask for money for the shade, it just does it.
Exactly.
So we're just going to naturally give, but it's like you've got to give to where you're also receiving.
100%.
Without the intention of receiving, right?
Correct.
It's like it's such a dichotomy, but it's like I think it's just it's altruistic
just,
nature.
It's almost just like a being. It's like I think that's kind of like when you're in that middle space, because if you're actually being, there's always going to be the natural waves of giving and receiving.
Yes, absolutely. Right? And isn't
it? You said trying way back early in this conversation, you said trying. Sometimes when we're also trying, we're not in alignment
right.
with and where we're supposed to be.
Correct. And you're acknowledging the lack.
Yeah.
Right. So I have to try because what I want or who I am is not here now.
Exactly.
So I'm giving more energy and attention to what's not than what I'm trying to make is.
Exactly.
Yeah, wow.
So it's just a beautiful thing. So let's talk about kind of like spiritual journey.
Mm.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
So when from your perspective did that journey kind of start for you, and what has it done for your life, and what does the spiritual journey actually mean to you?
Okay. Yeah, that's a deep one. You know what? I'll answer the question, what does a spiritual journey actually mean to
okay.
me? To me, this is a spiritual journey. Life is a spiritual journey. Everybody is spiritual.
Beautiful.
Everybody is a spirit. You know, that's what I believe. So, you know what? I would say that my path began early. You know, my mom would take me to these holistic fairs and Reiki healers and, you know, energy workers.
As a kid.
As a kid, as a young man. Oh. Yeah, and
so
she was
mom's,
doing...
Mom Dukes was
Oh, mom's just tapped in. Yes, mom is tapped in.
Ah, beautiful. You
know? Yeah. And it seems like as we all get a little bit older, I'm seeing, you know, we see that I have six siblings, right? There's seven of us.
Wow.
My one sister is channeling now and it's pretty intense and it's pretty interesting to see. You know, my other sister doesn't really tap in, but she's connected. She has a super high level of intuition.
Wow.
And, you know, it seems like they're sprinkled throughout all of us. There's like a little bit of that energy of,
wow.
Yeah. Interesting. So I had always been, you know, intrigued by metaphysics.
Okay.
And I was always into health because she was making me drink, you know, miso shakes when I was like 12 years old. I'm like, oh, wow, this is terrible. Like, what is this? Seaweed? Here, throw a raw egg in it. Oh, that's great. You know, but yeah, just like from holistic health from an early age and holistic fairs and going to see healers, going to see, you know, different modalities of energy work. Right. I was always fascinated. And then, you know, we studied under Tom Grant.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Brother Tom Sifu.
Tom.
Yeah, you know, he taught me more about the energy of things. Right? I knew what Qigong was, and I was always looking for a good teacher, and I found him.
Yeah.
And I would say that's very spiritual, right? Because now you're like, wow, I can harness that energy. I can move that energy. Wait, I can heal myself with that energy. Wait, I can give you that energy. And then you realize you're doing that all along anyway, you know? But I mean, as a young man, this was so intriguing to me. Yeah, and then eventually... you know what? I think it was Aubrey Marcus who, you know, watching his podcast and him talking about plant medicine, you know, just really intrigued me. And I think that deep inside, I had whether it was, you know, my situation growing up, my mom with the seven kids and no father figures present, you know, so I think that there was like a little bit of a missing piece for me.
Yeah.
And I think that that has now served me and sent me on this spiritual path. But that's, I think that void is what really made me search and what made me say, hey, I'm actually going to go all the way in. And then I spent about 5 years really going hard and reading more and journaling more and doing different ceremonies and working with different shamans and different modalities of bioenergetics, Qigong, meditation, and the other things that I just listed.
Is there anything that you felt was most profound for you? Like, are there any experiences that stand out as like, man, this experience was a game changer?
I mean, yeah, they all, so many of them were, you know, I can say that it's less about which experience specifically and certain insights, you know, that I gained.
Gotcha.
And at one time, you know, I was on top of a mountain somewhere and I was in the throes of a grandmother ceremony and I just felt connected to such a deep pain, right? Very deep, you know? And I was like, wow, is this all mine? So I couldn't even discern in the moment I was deep in. But I tapped into it, right? And this was not my first ceremony. But what the ultimate insight was that if I can feel this much darkness and sense this much darkness, then wow, how much light is there? Mm. You know, so it's like I was shown the stark contrast so that I could realize its opposite and how grand that must be. Because it was overwhelming. I was like, oh my God, this is too much.
Yeah.
You know? And then it was a flip, like, wait a minute, but what's the opposite of this? Oh my goodness.
So in an interesting way, this goes back to what you said in the beginning, you were able to alchemize the darkness and the pain almost instantaneously by doing one thing.
Mm-hmm.
A perspective shift.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's everything I talk about, you know?
So correct. Like that in itself is like unbelievable because you're still going through the pain.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I find interesting is we're still going through the pain, but when our perspective shifts, we can still maintain the pain, but it's no longer a pain.
Correct.
It's just a feeling.
Yes.
That doesn't have the same meaning because our perspective shifted.
Correct.
So it's almost like we're using the present moment time in order to absolutely change the past.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Because a perspective
shift actually, it's transmutation at its finest.
It changes the truth of what that past experience meant to you.
Mm.
10 years ago, that past experience meant this to you. But let's say now we have a perspective shift that runs into the past and it runs into the future because there's only the now.
Yes, absolutely.
So now
it transmutates it all.
That pain that you had, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like
beautiful.
It just goes to show like what you just said is it's a perspective shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say also, you know, another specific thing that I got from even my very first, you know, experience was the interconnectedness of everything,
yeah.
You know, and that like, it's all ours. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
I believe in, you know, the universal consciousness and that it's all one and that, you know, we are just divine emanations and we're here to experience just beauty. So yeah, there's so much to be gained from it. It's not from everybody. For everybody, you know? However, I think if like politicians were to start that level of introspection, the game would be different and the world would be a little bit different. However, you know.
Do you think that everybody on the planet, although like universally connected, do you think that everybody is here to awaken? Or do you think that there's predestined individuals that were brought here to awaken during this lifetime? Because if you sometimes think about it, it's other people in our life sometimes that have provoked some of the pain that we're feeling, that we're going through, and maybe some of those people never change. So is the spiritual path one that you believe every single person is experiencing? Or do you think that you need the contrast in order for certain people this lifetime, like maybe last lifetime?
Yes, I see what you're saying.
Maybe I wasn't on that spiritual journey last lifetime, but it gave other people the opportunity in that lifetime to walk that path.
Correct, yes. And I think that we all have our unique dharma, right? That we're here to serve. But because, you know, I believe in this overall oneness of it all, it's itself figuring it out for itself. So like the contrast that needed to be offered, like maybe you were a really bad guy and you harmed me, But ultimately, I needed that. So that was the universe working for me so that I could transmit that and grow and learn. And if you stayed the same, well, then that's your dharma, right? And maybe you were only here to teach me, because if you hurt me, you probably hurt other people.
Gotcha.
So maybe you were here this time to teach a whole bunch of people. And because it's all the oneness, you know, I think it's just kind of like that recycling.
It's literally all perfect.
To be honest,
it's all perfect. And all you can do is actually walk your path.
Mm-hmm.
Share your story.
Absolutely.
Meet people who resonate with you, or you resonate with them, or obviously it's for both parties to feel good about it. Mm-hmm. And not compare yourself to others.
You can't. You just gotta, yes, like you said, walk your own path. I think we all have our own little fire inside. We all have our own journey to walk. We all have our own, you know, specific goals. But I do think that it's, you know, really about the overall level of consciousness.
Gotcha.
Being more people finding love.
More people finding love.
Yeah.
What does love mean to you?
I think love is the fabric of existence. Mm. I think God is love. This is my personal.
Of course.
You know, yeah, I think that that's what God is, and that love is that creative fabric, that Higgs boson, as they say in the quantum physics, right? That's what makes it all possible. That's what I personally believe.
So you believe God is love?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always think even now, the way that we translate what love means is, it's kind of tied to just like in our world, like romantic and like just love.
Yeah.
Love.
Right. I think it's intentionally disguised.
But in reality, what you're saying is it's literally every aspect of our being.
Correct. It's my cells. Yeah. You know, vibrating at a trillion vibrations per second. I have a question. What made you name this podcast Breaking Chains? Because I think that's dope.
So, Chastity and I don't know how it came out. Tyler, do you know how it came out? Yeah, you weren't here yet.
It makes me feel like, you know, breaking free and,
yeah,
right, we're always striving to become that person. You know, or that next version of ourselves, and it's like we're chained.
Actually, so where Breaking Chains came from my own perspective, is like the last 4 years of my life have been tumultuous and mm-hmm. chaotic in every way possible.
I hear you.
The pain and suffering in life over those years was mm-hmm. mirrored with almost unbelievable moments of love with my kids and my family. It's like,
wow.
It's like, I don't know. It's so hard to comprehend, but there was just this feeling inside of me that like I wasn't living my best life. And for the most part, it was because I was forever chasing. I was chasing the next thing that I thought would fill me up. And as I live life longer, I start to acknowledge after you go for something like for your 25,000th time and it doesn't fill you up, you're like,
what am I doing?
There's nothing that's actually going to fill me up.
Yeah.
There's this void that could not be filled. Mm. And I knew that the next accomplishment, the next this,
yeah.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter. I had to find love for myself. I had to find love for God. I had to find love for the universe. I had to find love for life.
Beautiful.
And the Breaking Chains, really, to me, it's all of the compounded conditioning that...
Conditioning, the patterns.
The patterns. It's the, you know, you can say ego, but it's the habitual patterns of conditioning that we can't see, that we can't see from within the ego, that we can only see from like an observer or witness perspective, the pain that we put ourselves in. And a lot of that pain, I'm going to say 99% of that pain is pain from others and our perspective from what they did or what they said, you know, from ages 0 to 7, we're in theta state. So
yeah,
our parents, our family, our society, our caregivers, our friends, our whoever that's around us, we're picking up all of these habitual patterns, and we're picking up all these pains, and we're picking up all these safety precautions, right? Like, oh man, they want me to be like this, so I can't do this. And then next thing you know, you're 15, 17, 21, 25, and you don't know why you're feeling the way you are.
Why you keep doing the same things, why you keep self-sabotaging.
Exactly, and all you realize is that you start to realize like this, and it becomes so, so painful. You're like, why the fuck do I keep doing the same thing?
Speaking my language,
man. And so breaking chains is like really like, we must break the chains of our conditioning. We must break the chains of our ego. Because the bottom line, we're not our ego.
No.
But until you can even see that as another option, you can't dive deep into that. You're just repeating.
Yeah, absolutely. That goes... It fits well with something. So I'm going to drop a world premiere for you. Is that cool?
Yo,
because it just is, you know, the continuation of this conversation. Because people are their patterns.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that mine exists till I tried to walk a different path in the same shoes and I stepped in the same shit. I guess the trick is to be present enough to see the light and flip the switch. But slowing down ain't easy in a world that moves as fast as this.
Yeah.
So I set sail in new directions, blowing in the different winds. In uncharted waters, I battled waves, then washed ashore just like before, because I sailed the same ship. Wow. See, everything had changed around me, but internally, these patterns, they persist. New computer, faster data, programmed on the same chip. Different journey with some new drugs, but it felt like the same trip.
Yeah.
What gives? So then, brother, I fixated on a separate destination. But it's like my GPS had a glitch. The same wiring kept firing, but all I needed was a circuit flipped. It was no longer serving me, but irking me and urging me to dismiss all those thoughts that kept me trapped behind a wall made of bricks. And though I wielded a heavy hammer, I couldn't help but swing and miss. Yet strangely, there was this twisted sense of bliss, because I knew eventually I could be the change to see the change and witness this all lift. Like my perspective needs to shift so that I can view me as the new me and then commit to let him live. And that's what I did. When I opened my eyes and realized that to truly thrive as the new me, the old me had to die.
Yeah.
And it was hard to say goodbye because I learned to love that guy. That battle-tested, fearless warrior, unafraid to cry. Heart burst open wide, head up high, willing to grow at any cost. But I couldn't find my way from day to day till I admitted I was lost.
Yeah.
But now I'm found and dumbfounded at the mountains I can move. Brother, I recognize the God inside the man I knew as Damien Jude, and now I'm him. And it's too true. And it might seem like it's a lot, but it's not. It's minuscule. I'm telling you so that you know. Because I faced off with my shadows in those dark nights of the soul. My searching led me to my worth and this truth that now I show. Because I bathed within the fire. And though it was blazing hot, it didn't hurt me. No, I learned. It only burned what I was not.
Yo.
My man. Love you, brother.
Whew, love you, bro. Damn.
Yeah, so, you know.
You know, it only burned what you're not, right. And that is it.
And what's left is love, and the rest is stories.
It's just burning what we're not, and yeah, you're right, man. Dark nights, all that stuff. It's part of the process.
Absolutely.
But when you start to get to the other side, there's just a level of peace and calm.
Yes.
And trust.
Trust
that huge, you are being guided perfectly, divinely to where you're supposed to be.
Yes, I agree.
And
wholeheartedly.
And that's very empowering and freeing. So my question to you is, what's next for you in life right now?
I got some exciting things. So number one, I'm coming back into the coaching world. Coach D, I have a program called the Remind Program.
Where
I'm helping men remind themselves of what they truly are.
Awesome,
what they're capable of.
Okay.
Of vibrant health that they are entitled to. And I have a TEDx talk that I'm doing coming up in 2024. Yes, sir.
Sick, brother.
Yeah, and right now the title is...
You know what it's on?
What's it's going to... When is it on, you said?
No, subject matter.
Yeah, the working title right now is called From Me to We. the power of your presence.
Wow.
Right? And it's really about people who struggle with self-worth and purposelessness. It's in finding your inherent self-worth.
Gotcha.
By realizing the effect that you have on other people in the world.
Wow.
And it's bigger than you. It's not really about you. But if you can see what you do in the world, then you'll understand and you'll see right there you're inherently worth it.
Yeah.
Because one, because you are, two, because you're helping other people. So it's along those lines.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hopefully before when are you doing that?
Hopefully before the end of this year. Okay. It's a process, you know, so I've applied to multiple and I've gotten, you know, to different stages and there's a couple more organizations, hosts that I'm speaking with now.
Nice, man.
Yeah, man.
That's beautiful. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the viewers?
You know what? No, just...
What is like a nugget? What's like a profound nugget that maybe resonates deep inside your heart that if you could share with them, you know, maybe it would be supportive on their journey to kind of finding themselves.
Yes. There's so many things I would like to say. You know, I would just say, do your best to lead from your heart, right? And discern when it's a gut feeling, when it's a intellectual feeling, when there's ulterior motives on the line, and learn what it feels like when it's really, really your heart and go in that direction.
You know, I know that was probably a tough choice to say that, but probably one of the most profound pieces of wisdom that you can give, because when you go with the heart, you really can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong.
It's almost like your GPS is guiding you.
That's it.
To where you're supposed to be. So
yes,
I thank you for sharing that with the Breaking Chains crew. And dude, man, thank you so much for
thanks for having
me. Popping on here.
This was great.
You've been like a brother to me for such a long time.
And as have you.
Always excited to see you. Always know we're going to have good conversation.
Indeed.
Super excited about where you're at and what you got going for you, my man.
Thank you.
And I think one of the biggest reasons that I think that we just reconnected was because I believe the men's work is so powerful and necessary right now. Many of us have grown up just in competitive, like fierce battles and gotta protect me and lacking trust and maybe no father figures or father figures or abuse or a lot of things, but yet we gotta be the strongest cats in the world and never talk about this, never cry, never be vulnerable. And I think we have to find a way to balance out that energy.
100%, I agree.
To release it, let it go, and become the best version of ourselves by becoming whole once again. So I think the work that you're on right now really resonates with me, and I know there's going to be more in store for us to be collaborating and working together.
So. Oh, yes. And thanks for having me, and you know everything that you just said, obviously, I resonate with, and that's why I was so excited to come and talk to you on this podcast, and I just knew it was going to be a productive conversation, so thank you.
Of course, brother. And the last thing is, do you have like a YouTube or something
you can
that
find
the
absolutely
the viewers can follow you on?
I put out content on Instagram,
okay,
and I have a YouTube page, and they're both Damien Jude, DamienJude.
Damien Jude.
Let's go.
Subscribe.
Yep.
Comment,
share.
He throws out the fire, yo. Share, he throws out the fire, but he throws out fire from his heart and soul.
Amen.
So enjoy the words. He's got some powerful messages
in
there.
The warmest kind.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for hopping on Breaking Chains. Special guest series. Throw a thumbs up, like, comment, and share anything else that you want us to keep on rocking and rolling with on the Break and Change channel here. You know, the bottom line is it's time for all of us to set ourselves free.
Let's go.
Love you guys. Peace.
Love you. Peace.